In today's news headlines, U.S. senators are reviewing the controversial FBI probe into U.S. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh on Thursday morning. According to Senator Dick Durbin, who sits on the Senate Judiciary Committee, quote, only one copy is being made available to senators and each party will take turns viewing it in one-hour increments. Durbin called the conditions under which senators could read the report, quote, bizarre, adding, quote, it doesn't make any sense. The report's contents will clearly be kept sealed from the public. But White House officials, according to the New York Times, quote, after reviewing summaries of interviews conducted by the FBI, are increasingly confident that the information collected will ease the path for senators to confirm Judge Brett M. Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. And an official briefed on the FBI review said the Bureau contacted 10 people and interviewed 9 of them. The White House concluded that the interviews did not corroborate sexual misconduct accusations against Judge Kavanaugh and could help his case, said the person briefed on the findings, who requested anonymity to discuss them, end of quote. Senate Democrats wanted the FBI probe to be far wider than it was and wanted FBI officials to interview far more people. It's not up to the White House anymore, of course. It's up to the U.S. Senate. And the Senate will take a procedural vote on Kavanaugh's nomination on Friday in a high-stakes event that is expected to roll over into the weekend. AP described the tension around the nomination that could go through or end on a single vote, saying, quote, with Republicans clinging to a razor-thin 51-49 majority and 5 senators, including 3 Republicans, still vacillating, the conservative jurists' prospects of Senate confirmation remained murky and dependent in part on the file's contents, which are supposed to be kept secret. Meanwhile, senators reacted to President Trump's shocking tirade against Kavanaugh accuser Dr. Christine Blasey Ford at a rally in Mississippi on Tuesday. Even Republican Lindsey Graham, who's been one of Kavanaugh's most vociferous supporters, remarked about the president's words, saying, quote, I would tell him, knock it off, you're not helping. Senator Jeff Flake, who is one of the 3 Republicans wavering on Kavanaugh and who was the one to demand the FBI probe, said to reporters, quote, I thought it was obviously insensitive and appalling, frankly. There's no time or place, but particularly to discuss something so sensitive at a political rally is just wrong. Independent Senator Angus King, who caucuses with the Democrats, had even more to say about Trump's behavior in a CNN interview on Wednesday.
For the president last night, again, to use this as an applause line in a political speech, and even to mischaracterize it. I mean, he talked about she can't remember where the house was, you know, and all the mocking of she can't remember. What she did remember was being pushed into a room, pushed onto a bed, someone on top of her trying to take her clothes off, putting his hand over her mouth, and she remembered that it was Brett Kavanaugh.
That's Independent Senator Angus King in an interview on Wednesday denouncing President Trump's mocking of Christine Blasey Ford's testimony, accusing Kavanaugh of sexual assault. Senator King has said he plans to vote against Kavanaugh. And Republican Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska surprised many when he gave an impassioned speech on the Senate floor on Wednesday, defending the hashtag MeToo movement.
Although I've said many complimentary things about Judge Brett Kavanaugh and his distinguished record of 12 years of service on the D.C. Circuit Court, I will say that I urged the president back in June and early July to make a different choice before he announced this nomination. I urged him to nominate a different individual. I urged the president to nominate a woman. Part of my argument then was that the very important Me Too movement was also very new, and that this Senate is not at all well prepared to handle potential allegations of sexual harassment and assault that might have come forward. This was absent knowing a particular nominee.
That's Republican Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska on Wednesday saying he had wanted the president to nominate a woman to the U.S. Supreme Court. It is unlikely that Sasse will buck his party and vote against Kavanaugh, however. And in case you forgot about the initial reason for Democratic opposition to Kavanaugh, Senator Jeff Merkley on Wednesday made a last-ditch effort to obtain the trove of documents related to Kavanaugh's judicial record under President Bush that Republicans have kept secret. Merkley, who is a Democrat, is asking a federal court to order the release of the approximately 100,000 documents. Students at Harvard University are filing complaints against Kavanaugh's presence on campus as an instructor, saying it violates the university's policy on sexual harassment. According to Politico, about 50 students have signed a petition saying they filed Title IX complaints against Kavanaugh. Title IX is the federal law prohibiting sex-based discrimination that requires schools to address sexual harassment on campus. In other news, a U.S. Navy veteran named William Clyde Allen III was arrested in Logan, Utah on Wednesday over allegedly mailing letters to prominent federal U.S. officials that set off alarms after the poison ricin was discovered. Mr. Allen is a white man whose booking photo after his arrest shows him smiling. He served in the Navy from 1998 to 2002. He sent letters to Defense Secretary James Mattis and President Trump. According to Reuters, U.S. officials said on Wednesday they had essentially ruled out terrorism in the case. Of course, if the alleged perpetrator had been a brown-skinned Muslim, it's likely that the Pentagon would be considering terrorism charges. In immigration news, reports continue to emerge from an ICE detention facility in Adelanto, California, the U.S.'s largest privately run immigrant prison. The Department of Homeland Security found, among other things, that guards at Adelanto, quote, have allowed immigrants detained there to regularly hang nooses of braided bedsheets in their cells despite multiple suicide attempts over the past year. Apparently, 15 out of 20 cells inspected had these nooses. Some detainees said they could be unfurled to create a sense of privacy in their cells or serve as a clothesline. But in an interview, one detainee told inspectors, "I've seen a few attempted suicides using the braided sheets by the vents, and then the guards laugh at them and call them suicide failures once they're back from medical." And a federal judge in California has barred the government from ending the temporary protected status of nationals from El Salvador, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Sudan that have been living in the U.S. The approximately 300,000 immigrants in question had been living in the U.S. under TPS authority until President Trump systematically ended the protections. The judge's injunction against the ban was precipitated by a lawsuit of TPS holders. On Wednesday, millions of Americans received texts from President Trump on their cell phones as part of the Presidential Alert Emergency System. The message read, "This is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is needed." Apparently, it's the same system that alerts cell phone users to extreme weather or sends out amber alerts. But in our current political climate, critics of President Trump were disconcerted by the idea that the president could issue a blanket cell phone text. In international news, the U.S. on Wednesday withdrew from the United Nations Court of Justice, also known simply as the World Court. The move was in response to complaints filed by Palestinian authorities and Iranian officials against the U.S. through the court. U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton denounced the court as, quote, politicized and ineffective, as he justified the U.S. pulling out. And that does it for our headlines today.